Hello and welcome to that EV Cafe Takeaway, the podcast focused on a zero emission future that we all hope for. Every week I get joined by one of the wonderful members of the team of the EV Cafe, and this week we have the lovely, the wonderful, the inimitable John Curtis.
Oh, bless you. That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. How much of that did you mean?
None. Right. No, I mean it all. Big love heart. Is that how they do these hearts these days? Just like that, isn't it? Hey, oh, look, I've done it.
Oh, they icing.
That
perfect.
Actually looks like a heart. Anyway, Tim, you're not allowed to say anything until I introduce you. Anyway, So every week we get joined by amazing pioneers, innovators and collaborators. And I'm not kidding you, this guy has done so much for our industry in terms of electrification. This is going to be a blockbuster. I am joined by the amazing Tim Campbell of, Campbell's Consultancy, but I mean, goodness me, it just doesn't sum it up. Tim, hello and welcome.
You get me worried. I thought you got somebody else. I thought you got somebody else and you got me instead then. Yeah, welcome.
Hiya, Paul. Hiya, John. You all right?
Hello, mate.
Yeah, good Tim, to see you.
I mean, for those people that have lived under an electric rock for the last, well, probably two decades, I would guess you've been dabbling in around decarbonisation or whatever. You can tell us in a moment. But I know, you know, particularly with trucks, but a lot with vans too. You've done a hell of a lot to help all of the industry in the commercial vehicle world. Just tell us a little bit about what you guys do, you do today, and then we can begin to explore the past.
Today is really just helping people manage what's going on, because it's quite for a lot of people, and for majority, I mean, we're in a watershed moment. Nobody's really done electrification on heavy trucks, certainly. This is all new, so it can be quite frightening, daunting, whatever you want to call it. Where do you start? How do you start? All the sort of questions that they do. So the idea behind the consultancy is just to give people at least a roadmap or a route, or at least somebody to bounce ideas off. So that's how it starts off at the beginning, because people just don't know where to start, and also who starts it within a business. So it's just really just giving signposting, roadmaps towards what, you know, how do you start? And that's how it all starts, really, is a case of, I don't have a clue. I've never had an electric truck. I don't know anything about it. I don't know what I need to support it, that sort of thing. So that's how we help out.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europcarma. Search Europcar Business.
Tim, it's a great question for me to now ask you. How did this start? You know, I mean, because electrification in trucks in particular, it was something that was on the horizon a long time ago. How did you get into this decarbonisation piece particularly? What was your journey?
It was a case of just going around the world, looking at what was happening. And I happened to fall on a truck show or a commercial vehicle show in China. And that was called in 2013. And that was called the Chinese Commercial Vehicle Show. Very inventive. And it was based in a place called Wuhan, which we all come to know. Wuhan. Yeah, exactly. That's where which in 2013 did not have any connotations whatsoever. No. Just another. It's about 2.5 hours flight outside Beijing. And I saw 2013, I saw electrification already in light vans as it was then. Mm. And then I kept going back every show up to 2019. And by then it was heavy trucks, electric, it was electric vans, it was hydrogen, it was everything, all in this Chinese show. And it's not an international show. It's the only internal commercial vehicle show in China. So Beijing and Shanghai are international shows. You get a lot of international journalists, etc. There's me and a Japanese guy at first instance, just going around here and thinking, hell, this is... And every show, because every 2 years, 13, 15, 16, 17, and then 19, I saw the growth in electric, and I'm thinking, this is where the market's going. This is a trend. This is not stoppable anymore. And I started shouting to everybody. And then I came back and did a speech at Alexander Palace, I think, for one of Road Transport, Andy Salter's lot. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is how I think the market's going to progress in the next decade. And this is 2019, 2020. I said, I think we'll see electrification. I think we'll see in vans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then there was a guy from National Grid on the venture side, Chris Green,
yeah,
and Chris Broom. And then he said, Tim, we think the same. And we know that fleet vans and heavy trucks are going to be our biggest challenge. We don't know anything about fleet vans and heavy trucks. Why don't you come and work for us as a consultant for 10 days a month for over a year and look at our strategy and see how we do, what do you think the future might look for? So that's what really got... So then I got to know about electrification, DNOs, KVAs, working for the grid on the venture side. So it got me, but I got both sides of it. And working for the grid gives you a lot of access to stuff as well. So that's how I got... So the combination of having the trucks and the vans and then the electrification gave me a good grounding into where I think the future's going.
Tim, do you come at this from a perspective of being an environmentalist and wanting to, you know, not use fossil fuels? Do you come at this from this is new and that's really exciting? What is it that drives you to find this stuff?
It drives me to make it economical. I mean, you know, we've got it on a TCO basis and looking at, it's a problem and I love problem solving. And there has to be a solution to it. I'm not a great believer in there's no solution. So it's a case of, hey, it's a problem. Let's get over it. You know, I used to run 400, 500 trucks. You know, my mantra to a lot of truck salespeople when they used to come sell to me was, make me money or save me money. That's the only thing your job is. I don't run them because I love them. I don't run them. I run them because I want to make money out of them. I want to improve the bottom line. And if I look at this table and chair here, if I could take it for £1.57 and your truck, I could take it for £1.37, why shouldn't I buy it? Now, when you come to electric and getting that TCO, because we don't run them because we love them, and we're in this demonstration program, we'll talk about that maybe later on, we've got to make the numbers count. And it's like we can't get everything to work all at once at the moment. So it's just problem solving, really, because I know where the end game is. And the end game is renewables and lower CO2s. That's where we want to do. And this is, and you said it there, John, this is decarbonisation, not electrification yet. And I think it's knowing where that mix is going to be and what our incline is going to be. Some people think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be a lot less than that. And I think, you know, we've got to work with that and within the confines that legislation and regulation give us as well. And that's a massive, massive issue as well.
So you're far more than just a fleet consultant. You're somebody who actually understands the business, what the levers are for the economics of that business. And you're trying to make it as profitable as you can with whatever tools you've got at your disposal.
Yeah. We've got to make money out. In the end, ultimately, we've got, you know, and it's very difficult at this moment in time. It's very niche at this moment in time. And I think that's the important thing to say. You know, some people are still, they are, you know, getting cost parity against diesel in certain operations. I've seen that already. But they're very niche at the moment. And we've got to look at the long game. Yeah, this is about legislation, regulation, and things like, you know, working time directive and the tachograph rules. Also things like, you know, weights and dimensions, which cars don't have anything to do with it. You know, these are all the things that we need. We need government, we need policy, and we can't do it within the confines of the current diesel regulation. Running electric is not as easy. In fact, in some cases, it's virtually impossible. And therefore, we need to sort that. So my job is, I don't know. I've got lots of jobs in the fact that I just want to, I don't want any of the problems. I don't want to look at the problems. I also want to offer solutions as well, which is important. Because anybody can tell you what's wrong. It's the people that can tell you this is a potential solution. They're the people that we need.
Yeah. And Tim, you're absolutely the nail on the head. I mean, you know, some time ago, I decided that I would kind of get out there and try and be the voice of vans. I totally very much respect that you've got actually an incredible amount of knowledge in vans, but obviously there's a really big job in trucks to do, which you're doing and doing extremely well. And it is that desire to help and kind of bring solutions. It was interesting. I posted recently on LinkedIn about the 30 million of grants that have been sort of extended by government. And I was saying, well, it's nonsense. You know, nobody can take advantage of this. I was actually a little bit grumpy because I just didn't think it had been thought through. And I don't think it's been fully thought through, but there was some solutions. And it was interesting that generally people want to hear what they can do with what's out there. And Tim, do you think, you know, we've got the ZHID trials, you know, we're seeing a lot of money put in there, you know, probably relatively not a lot, but actually still it is still quite a lot of money. And there is some significant improvements. What are you seeing that is out there to help, like the ZHID trials, and how do you think that's working? But what else do you think we need to do in order to really accelerate this?
I think we need consistency. I think democracy is a big problem for the way that we're, because we can't do a series, you know, people laugh on that. I'm not saying we should have what I'm saying is you can look at China and obviously go there quite on a regular basis. And I know what they're doing for the next 10, 15 years because they don't have a change in government. Yeah. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but what I'm saying is it allows you to do this sort of thing. We swing from one side to another. You know, Conservative and Labour have got different views completely with trucks and vans and renewables in the middle. Yeah. And so, you know, we only have effectively, and this isn't any government, 5 years maximum. It takes them a year to work it all out and to get some sort of policy. It takes them 2 or 3 years then to implement. And then we know the last year, they're thinking about the election. So they're looking at what the government's going to do. So in fact, we actually have a sweet spot of probably about 2.5 years that we can actually do anything. And of course, with trucks and with anything really in business, we want long-term planning. I want to know that this, you know, a truck, you know, 100,000 diesel truck, $250,000 for an electric truck, if I'm buying 10 or 15 or 20 of those, I don't want to know they're going to be completely gone in 2.5 years. Yeah. This is practical world things that we need to do. And government are really at the heart of everything in this area. And we've got to work with them, not against them.
How do you think we do that, Tim? Because, you know, we've talked... So in the run-up to this latest batch of grants, we talked about the used market for cars. So, you know me, I'm not particularly interested in cars, but I understand that effort needs to be put into the used market as a whole. And if we can kind of deploy something on cars, maybe it'll affect the van market as well. Education, hopefully a rising tide and all that good stuff, lifting all boats. But
Monty Python now.
Sorry?
Educate. What the Romans done for us? Education. So it's like Monty Python now. I'm sorry, mate.
Don't forget roads, long straight roads.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. You've got roads, you've got education, you've got. Yeah, come on.
Anyway, but oh gosh, we could go down a rabbit hole here.
Sorry,
we? Oh my gosh. Anyway, so coming back to sort of sensible stuff, we lobbied government, we gave them a plan, we expressed all of the key areas. And they came out with revising grants on new cars and effectively causing the market to entirely stop while everybody worked out whether they could get the grant or not. But people that were thinking of lower value vehicles were already going, well, we'll wait for the grant to see if we get the grant or not. So the market just went, boof. And then we put in a really complex charging kind of infrastructure place that has to be delivered by March next year, including grid connections. There's up to £1 million available. I mean, only really companies...
You've got to have it signed off by November. Yeah, end of November
deep
and then
pockets,
by the end of March.
All of that sort of stuff. You just think, and it's only 75%, so you've got to put in the 25.
Yeah.
So there was so much. How have they... Have they got it? Not wrong, but are they... ill-advised? What is it? How do we get the message out there?
I think, first of all, you've got to remember that Treasury has a massive effect on anything that's going on for a start. So I think, again, the pass by Treasury is an important thing. And also you've got this thing between DESNZ and DfT. You've got two different groups who do different approaches and trying to, you know, square that hole is not not easy at all.
So Tim,
and I think also you've got...
Tell us what DESNZ and DfT are. Just some people on the call might not know DESNZ in particular.
So Yeah, you've got the Department for Transport, and you've got the Department for Energy, Security, and National Infrastructure. I can't exactly remember what the
Z is. That's a pretty good go. Well done.
Yeah, yeah, you know, that's it. But it's all about the energy, in you know, back at home, and, yeah, and the grids and everything like that. So we've got those two players, and then you've got Treasury in the middle. So it's just... I mean, you did well with the van plan. I think it's important that we did that. I think that's important. That recognises, again, legislation and regulation are important for the growth of this business. And trucks are exactly the same. And also, you've got to also overlay the EU in this. Mm. People don't realise the unintended consequences of what the EU did in 2019 for the truck manufacturers, particularly, and said, you've got to cut your emissions by 15% by 2025, based on a benchmark of June 2019, and you've got to chuck it, originally was 30% by 2030, they've gone now up to 45%. But they based it on Vector. Vector is basically like WLTP for trucks, and that only came into 16 tonnes and above. That meant the manufacturers concentrated on the very, very heavy end, yeah, the tractor unit end, when really I do believe we should have been concentrating on the distribution side, which are the 7.5 tonners and the 12 tonners and 16 tonners, which are the ones that go into the city that have got the lower batteries, smaller batteries, 200 kilowatt, therefore smaller, the lower price cost there. They only need 22 kilowatt, some of them, chargers, so depot. So all of a sudden, we had the EU saying this, which is then an unintended consequence of the EU way of saying concentrate on the big heavy stuff. They great. Their argument is, and the argument is, oh, they do more mileage. But in the end, it's that we wanted to clean the cities up. The Dutch have just got that. They've just got a regulation now in. We've got 19 cities that have said we don't want diesel trucks in here anymore. And anything that's bought after 2020 this year has got to be electric. All right, they've got a dispensation for Euro 6 product. And there's another 10 cities that are going to do that. The central government changed in Holland, but the city said, we're in charge of our city.
Right.
And therefore, we don't want that. So we're going to keep with it no matter what you do. And certainly that's my belief of it. I mean, somebody in Holland might tell it different. Certainly that's the feedback that I'm getting from everybody. So I think you've got to see the EU, the truck manufacturers, with the greatest respect to them, and having worked for three of them, they would not have done what they've done. Neither would any manufacturer. If you look at cars even, Euro 3, Euro 4, Euro 5, do you think they would have naturally done that if there wasn't legislation and regulation? Because it costs them so much. The one thing also that we don't talk about is Euro 7. What is going on with Euro 7? I know this is all about electrification, but, you know, stuff like... Because I asked that to someone yesterday in Europe, and I said, what's the legislation? You know, you talk about electrification, decarbonisation, etc. What's happening with Euro 7? I don't know. And yet that's coming in less than a year, 18 months, yeah, 2 years from now. So everybody seems to have forgotten... anything to... But the manufacturer's got to develop things for Euro 7. So you've got manufacturers now who, in 2019, had a great budget. Everything was just diesel. Now what's happening is we've got to do some electric stuff. We've got to do some hydrogen stuff. I've got to do hydrogen as fuel cell. I've got to do hydrogen as a gas. I've got to do e-fuels. I've got to look at making it compatible with biodiesels. And then I've also got to look at Euro 7 and developing that. Hell. We've got real, you know, life was so easy. And that's less than 5-6 years ago, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember Euro 4 coming in and the catalytic converting, yeah, process and all of that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
that,
DPFs, EGR.
DPFs, EGR, yeah, the, you know, all, yeah, of that kind of stuff. And
SCR,
now,
I believe.
Yeah, that was it, yeah. And now we've got Euro 7, which is obviously the first standard to affect EVs. So that's going to, yes, it's focused in on brake wear, tire wear, all of those kinds of things.
Correct.
Which is
all the supplementary emissions that are going on there, which we were looking at as well. And also, there's not a lot on the diesel. It isn't as bad as I don't think it's about. It's also based on, used to be able to warm the engine up. Now it's based on cold start. From the beginning, once you,
right,
turn it on,
right,
it's got to have those emissions, which are, that's oversimplifying it, but that's how it is. So we've got all these in play, and the poor operator is looking at this, and, you know, and then, you know, you've got your truck team And each legislation is different because we've got Europe looking at e-fuels. We're not looking at e-fuels. We, you know, we've got the mantra we're a zero emission country, not a low emission country. You've got people like JC Bamford looking at hydrogen as a gas and saying, can we have that as compatible? You've got all these things, and the operator's thinking, I've got to buy another 100 trucks next year. What the hell am I going to do? And that's serious things, mate.
Exactly. And you know, sitting here listening to you two, you are clearly incredibly well informed about the whole area of legislation and operating trucks and vans. What strikes me is if I was a fleet manager looking to start the journey to electrification, I'd be just sitting there going, I'm so scared now, I don't know what to do. Tim, can you make it really straightforward for me? If I'm a fleet operator and I've got a mixed fleet of some vans and a few smaller trucks, where do I start with fleet electrification? Just making improvements?
Yeah, I always say start with the lightest and work your way up, basically. If you want a rule of thumb, start with vans. You learn so much running vans in terms of charging, infrastructure, dwell time. All the basics are the same, whether it's a heavy truck or not. It's just the fact that the assets are a lot more expensive and take a lot longer to actually get in there. But certainly the principles are very good in there. And like I say, you know, you've got 100 vans, you won't do them all at once. You can't do them all at once. So you pick your routes, and same with trucks, it's exactly the same. And also with trucks, we can, it's by set, we've got the light distribution trucks that go into the cities, and then we've got the long haul or regional haul that go on the motorways. So, you know, you've got two different sort of routes, if you like, to market. But certainly my view is start with the lighter stuff. So on trucks, I'd say exactly the same, start with distribution, because they're the ones that can cut the PM 2.5s in the city. Those are things that get in your lungs. Those are sort of things that we want to be doing and showing, hey, we can do it. And also, The trucks are a lot cheaper, not cheap, but relative to everything, to a heavy truck, because the batteries are smaller, probably half or a third. You know, you've got trucks, heavy trucks at 600 kilowatt hours, 200 kilowatt hours, you'd probably look at the distribution. So, of course, that you've immediately got a third difference in terms of that. And as I said, the infrastructure, you can run probably a distribution truck. I'm not saying you can, but I'm just being a bit on a van, virtually 22 kilowatt. You can do that within, and you know, you can charge it, because a distribution truck with 200, it's not going to come back with zero. It's going to come back with maybe 40 kilowatts, things like that. So you've got like 8 hours. You can do that with a 22 kilowatt and fill that battery up. So, but it isn't easy. And, you know, it's a case of picking your depots as well. You know, as I say to a lot of people, it's what's driving them. Is it, as you asked me there again, do you want to decarbonize? Or, you know, who's driving this? But the important thing is, on trucks, we have a lot of peripheral people and vans, on fleet vans. I'm not talking about I'm talking about fleet mainly for what I do anyway. You've got lots of people involved in it. And we've always talked about the fact that, you know, you do have a fleet engineer. You might have a transport manager. You might have a facilities or property manager. You might have the finance people. You might have HR involved. You've got all these people who never, ever talk to themselves. And when you're buying diesel, you didn't need to worry about it. Now, you've got to get everybody involved, you know. So it's frightening. And people just want to know, give us an idea. Just give us, where do we start? And I think that's important.
So you're like the conductor of the orchestra then, basically.
Yeah, you're bringing everyone together, making him realise you need that. Yeah, without a doubt, bringing it all, you need some violins in there. No, let's get the drums in that side of it. Or the guy. So, yeah, and it ends up being a complete mess. Oh, no. No, you end up playing Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, I'm sure, by the end of it.
Absolutely. But, With you at the helm, we will definitely have Beethoven and Verdi and all of those good guys. But Tim, listen, I think people like to buy people, right? And you've got an encyclopedic knowledge, but I could be on what we've seen so far. I'd be forgiven for thinking, gosh, he's quite intimidating, is our Tim. Pin back your ears, but I know different. Because I know that you've been around this industry for a long time. You are known and loved by many. And you've alluded to the fact...
Not at our house.
Alluded to the fact that you've worked for a few manufacturers, you've had a business building data, you've fleet managed, you've done a lot. How did all of this start? Because nobody, not often, chooses trucks. But I happen to know you're from a part of the world which was synonymous with trucks not too many years ago. Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about how you got here from way back when you were a lad. Oh, what did
God.
You dream
when
of?
When I was a lad, God. A helicopter pilot, actually.
Was it really?
Yeah. Me and my mate went Mitlove helicopter because for helicopter, I wanted to be fleet. If you wanted the RAF, you had to be in 13 years. Fleet Air Arm, you could be in 9 years and be a helicopter pilot. So I went to HMS Dolphin and I did all my training for officer training. And I found out that I'm colourblind at night. And I did everything. I passed it. Yeah, I passed everything. And the last thing he had to do was that. Anyway, cut a long story short, my mate went there, Mitlove. Unfortunately, he got caught in the Falklands. He was a helicopter pilot, and he took the SS out. And unfortunately, they hit the side of the ship, and he went down with the ship and with the helicopter.
Wow!
My mum was saying, "God, that could have, what could have been." But anyway, I'm obviously born in Leyland. I'm a Leylander, so Leyland trucks. In fact, our farm is at the side of it. Says it's welcome to Leyland, building trucks since 1896.
Oh,
so
wow!
That's it. But I didn't work for Leyland originally. The cut a long story short, I went out with the MD's daughter of ERF trucks. Eric Green, who was the MD, Peter Forden was the chairman of ERF, which is the F in Forden. Eric Green was the managing director. Karen Green was, I went out with her. And when I wanted to do a year out in industry, because I had to do an India, I was at Lanchester Poly or Coventry University, it is now. I had to do a thick sandwich. I had to be a year out in industry. And so I went to ERF trucks and research and development. And from then on, I just got hooked on trucks. And that was it.
Did you fall in love with trucks? Was it just kind of the environment that suited you best?
Yeah. I just loved them. I fell in love with trucks. They're just brilliant. They're big, they're bold. You've got to know what you're on about. They're quite unique. I just love it. When you do Millbrook or Senex and you've got a choice of vehicles, guess what? A lot of the journalists and a lot of people want to do, they want to go and drive that truck because they can go around Millbrook, the thingy, and they're up there and they go up the four or five steps and they go in there and it's like a kid. They're like a kid. You take a picture of them all, they're like children. And that's where it is, and that's where, I do it. And then, trying to make money or what they do, how you do it and things like that. It's just it's not fun every day, but I mean, it's not fun. When you're trying to make money out of them, it's like any job. I always say to people, who's the bigger fool? The one that leaves the truck industry and comes back, or the one that never leaves? And that is an interest, because a lot of people go to trucks, no disrespect, go to cars and maybe to vans. And then before you know it, they're saying, can I go back to trucks?
Oh, yeah.
Because it is a different set of people. And we don't suffer fools very well. I think that's the important thing. You've got to know what you're on about. Yeah, no, seriously, you've got to know what you're on about. And we've got so much legislation, so much regulation. We're controlled, DVSA, PPLI, which is right, and I agree with it. But so it's not like a car. You've got to really know. You've got to know about your tachographs, your towing legislation, which you do on vans as well. So like axle loadings, all that sort of thing. It's getting rid of a lot of people, and you just then talk to people that actually are in a sort of knowledge base that I quite like.
Speaking of fools, here's me.
No. Joel.
Tim, you are incredible at sucking up information and retaining it. Do you restrict that just to trucks, or do you have that in your whole life that you love to research, you love to learn, and you love to develop?
I never stop, mate. Life's too short.
What else is a specialist subject for you?
You're going to laugh now. I think Paul knows it. Orchards, apples, pears, plums, and damsons.
Okay.
We have a fruit farm. We've got 1,500 fruit trees. In fact, we just put another 1,000 in at the moment. So we're just starting the harvest season start. It's literally start with Stanley plums last weekend. We do apple juice, pear juice. So apple, pear, plum and damson. So we produce quite a lot of apple. We're doing about, 5,000 to 10,000 bottles of apple juice. I think we'll do between now and Christmas.
Good gracious, how do we get hold of such wonderful things?
I think there's no problem. I think I'm sure we can sort you out with something between you.
I want to taste Tim Campbell's plums.
So, oh, no.
That's an interesting
to go there.
Oh,
I know, exactly. No, I think we'll keep with the apple juice, mate. John. But no, we don't do the plum juice, unfortunately. You don't juice that very well.
Well, no. Listen. So I'm actually in touch with a certain Liam Campbell, which is
I think I know him.
Your offspring.
My son. Yeah,
indeed. And he's go on.
I think he's I think you're coming up to farm sometime anyway, aren't
I'm
you?
Hoping
so,
to.
We don't start apple discovery. Yeah, you see, you're getting into my specialist. Discovery apples start probably next weekend. So we need apples to make apple juice, and then we'll make apple juice then through to Christmas, bottle it all up, and sell it through year. And it's pure apple juice. We don't use pesticides. Again, we've just bought for sustainability. We just bought a new quad bike that's electric, fully electric, with a trailer. We've got a couple of tractors, but we've got to get them into electric at the moment. There's not for the bigger tractors, there's not much in electric at the moment. So, but the quad bike, we've just made that. So we do all our collections down to the orchard with an electric quad bike and things like that. So yeah, it's good fun. Enjoy it. It gives me something else, to do that. In fact, this morning before we did, we've just been picking some fruit ready to put on our. We've got a stall at the front. We're on the road between Preston and Southport, so we get a lot of people calling around. It's quite well known because we've been here 30 years, so it's quite a good thing.
So I just love people. Well, don't you just love that? You say it's like an onion, and you peel it, and you just go, I thought you were just the truck guy, and now I'm like, wow.
So I've got the flyer that Liam's put out that allows so businesses like ours that were at exhibitions, if we want to offer something that's slightly different, we can offer a little bottle of totally sustainable apple juice.
Yeah.
And they're specially preserved apples. I think you've got a tree in your orchard.
Yeah.
Which is possibly the last one in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got two. This has been in orchard since 1730. So this is quite, and we've got three. We had a guy come round do DNA testing on all our fruit and what we've got. And you then send it down to Mallings, which is like a big laboratory where they do DNA testing for all the fruit. And they came back and said, look, there's those two trees are unique to you. We do not have any DNA traced to those. So we've got that. Liam's just been making pear juice out of that as well. Walton Weeper, it's called. So we've got to quite unique, and Liam takes cuttings of those every year, February. We take cuttings, so then we try and then propagate those and do that. So keep sustainability. And I say we don't use pesticides, and when we juice, we don't put anything else other than the juice itself. And all we do is pasteurise it, and that's it. So we don't even put even the ones that say they put ascorbic acid and things like that, we don't even bother with that. Just literally pure juice. So that's how we'd like to work.
Fantastic. Sold. We'll take some.
Absolutely. We should definitely do something. We've got an event coming up. This will go out before the event, I think, Fleet Mobility Live. Yeah. I might have a word with
Fine.
Liam and see if we can get a few bottles.
If we've got
the
apples, correct. Again, it's just based on what apple. Every year is different. Within a week, three or four weeks, the fruit's ready or they're not ready. So, and then obviously we've got to have apple juice to actually produce the apple. We've got the apples to get the apple juice.
Yeah.
I can even feel some special labels coming, Paul, with glasses on the apples.
EV, yeah, exactly. EV Cafe. We could brand it EV Cafe.
Absolutely, it's super cool. I love the idea. I must admit, but
no, seriously, mate, good fun.
It is, and so sustainability. I mean, did that because. Obviously you're carrying through the zero emission theme, that sort of decarbonisation theme into this kind of side hustle,
into this,
of the barrel.
Yeah, we've got things like the barn. We've got a 60-foot barn. We harvest the rainwater off that. We've got 1,000 litre IBCs. We've got 10 of those. So we harvest 10,000 litres. We use that then. We've got a well as well, which is a unit to us. So we use that as well. Forgive the pun. So we try and keep sustainability into everything that we think about and everything we do.
I think I've just come up with the title for this podcast. Tim Campbell, Sustainability at His Core.
I saw that. Very good. Very good.
That's just brilliant.
That's it.
But Tim, I do love this. That you have that thing. But I also know, coming back to the sort of core subject, couldn't resist it, sorry. is you've got a real clear eye on the future. And what are you seeing that, you know, perhaps in China? China's definitely a place where, I mean, I'm desperate to go to. I will get there probably in the next 12 months, try and see something for myself, because it would be very exciting. But what are you seeing on the horizon that can kind of give us a little bit of almost hope, I suppose, that actually technology is running faster than we think it is?
I would say that we've got, again, depends on which part of the world. I mean, look at America, right? You know, with Trump has changed now. I've been there twice. I went to Indianapolis for the Green Truck Show. I then went to ACT Expo in LA. And I've seen now that all of a sudden, I went there last year, everyone was talking about electric and hydrogen. I go now. And again, this is democracy changing completely. They're now going into 20% was electric. The rest of it was gas. They were going LNG, biogas, biodiesels, all that sort of thing. So what you think now, whereas if I go to China, I know exactly what they're doing, what the plans are. And I think that's an important thing too. So everything I would say is on the premise that if we have a change in government, then we will have a change. But unfortunately nowadays, we seem to have extremes on both sides. You know, we seem to go from one side to the other. And renewable, as I said right at the beginning, is really at the heart of everything that we do. You know, and you know, it's like in the States, if you go on CNN and you get this side, if you go on Fox News, you get the complete opposite side. The truth is in the middle somewhere. And unfortunately, it's left to us to decide that. And it's important that we do see both sides of the coin. But certainly from the only heavy truck side, I think we need a lot more legislation. ZHID is good for us, and I think it's good. I mean, the thing that worries me, without ZHID, which has got about 320 trucks, I don't see much behind ZHID. And I think that's where the government has to step in. All right, we've got 400 million, which is for cars, vans and trucks. We've got a few other things that are coming along. As I said, we've got to unopen. We've got to release the floodgates and things like, as I said, things like tachograph, the 45 minutes, things like wakes and dimensions. But then they'll go and say, Tim, that's National Highways' job to tell us if the bridges can take it, because it's not the government's job to do that. So we've got a lot of things that we need to do. But I think we've got to think outside the box. The government have got to think outside the box on things like weights and dimensions, because if not, we're going to have a big problem. But there's a lot of help. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to be grateful for. And what I would say is the fact that the incline, it's on a trend. And I think that's the important thing. We're going in one direction. We all know where the end game is going to be, which is zero emission. It's just a case of where is it going to finish? When's the end date?
Tim, one thing that we briefly mentioned but not gone into any detail is hydrogen.
Yeah.
A lot of people are uncertain about its future and where the applications might be. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think hydrogen's definitely way behind electric in a lot of cases. I think you've got to look at where the hydrogen's coming from. And obviously we all know there's 11 colours of hydrogen. How do you make it in terms of that? And it's basically, you know, whether it's a carbon capture, whether it's, from a coal or whatever it is, but, you know, the green, blue, we want it to be green. So I think the economics at this moment in time, and I think I've been quoted the last time I looked at, around about 20 euros a kilogram. From what I can tell and what I talked to a lot of people is we're looking at, to make it TCO right, we're looking at 5 or 6 euros. to make it parity. So we've got a lot. We've got a lot to go, and the infrastructure. I mean, you know, if you think electric infrastructure is bad, they're way behind in terms of that. I'm not saying no, and I think, as I said earlier, hydrogen is a gas, and hydrogen fuel cell. But if I look at the ratio, without giving it too much weight, if you look at diesel as a one, and we look at electric on a truck as in terms of cost, around a 2.5 at the moment. If we look at a fuel cell hydrogen, we're looking at 5. So four to five times as much as well. Mm. So, you know, I think naturally we do it. I think UK, we're a small island. I can see it happening. If you're taking goods from Lisbon or Porto and going to Ankara or going over to Greece or Athens and doing thousands. I can see it in America, coast to coast. I can see it in Australia in some ways. UK, we're just a small island. I mean, you know, and again, on trucks, you can only do the maximum 56 miles an hour at 4.5 hours. So it's around about 250 miles without a stop. And let's face it, with our roads, M1, M5, M6, you can't guarantee you're going to do that without hitting a traffic jam. So you work on about 180 miles. Well, electric trucks can do 180 miles now.
Easy.
So why are we playing about with it?
Mm. There's so much to this, Tim, and I know that we could talk for hours on, you know, the joys of electric trucks and vans, of course.
Yeah.
Little trucks. But not as complex, but certainly a great learning point, as you highlighted.
The principles are the same.
Yeah.
Principles are the same. I think that's important. What I would say is the one thing I don't like being called as an expert, because nobody's an expert in this game. Everybody's learning every week. We're all learning.
Yeah.
We're all learning. I mean, I learned yesterday on something that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing about it. The moment you think you know everything is the moment you've lost it. So I'm a great believer in, you know, people say an expert. No, I'm a consultant and I'm still learning. And I think that's important that we all take that into account as well.
Definitely. Agreed. Absolutely. Now, Tim, we have a closing tradition on the EV Cafe, because I mean, there's no podcast out there worth its salt without a closing tradition. I mean, you know, come on.
No,
you know,
so, correct. Exactly. I wouldn't expect anything different from you guys.
Indeed. And we are, you know, top drawer, as other people have said. We wouldn't say it ourselves, of course. But I can't sing. Present you with the EV Cafe magic wand. Look at that. There you go, straight from Harry Potter with his little little lightning bolt. And so here it's coming. It magically, it's going to transpose itself all the way to you. That's it. You've got it. There it is.
Got it.
In there.
It's down here.
And
it's down here now.
Excellent. Thank you, Tim. You now have the power to wish something to change in our industry, in your orchard, whatever. We've had everything from a personal chef to world peace, as I probably say far too often. But we have had all of those kinds of things. Please tell us, how would you use the magic wand for one wish?
For one wish. I think just unlock electrification and renewables in the truck industry. It's as simple as that.
Simple as that?
Unlock it.
Absolutely.
I don't know how you unlock it, but yeah, exactly. And more Discovery apples, please. I haven't planted enough of them, so I need some more Discovery because they taste gorgeous.
We'll allow that. We'll allow that, Tim. We'll allow side issue wish. But I like your thinking, because why would we have a wish for something that we knew how to do? And that, because I think a lot of us think, oh, well, I'd wish to accelerate this or to take away that or to... But actually, you're wishing for something that is a really difficult task to do, and we don't have a clear road, do we? And I think there is a lot of testing and learning that we're going to be doing over the next few years.
Yeah, and it needs unlocking. There are we've got too many hurdles at the moment, so I think it's important that... And it's within the manufacturers, you know, and pricing and things like that. It's in the finance, residual values. It's in the infrastructure and the energy DNOs and the national grid. And then within government, in policy, regulation and legislation. All those need to come together and work together. And obviously, I'm trying to do my best. I'm just one person in terms of that. But I'm doing it for the better, hopefully for the good of the industry, because I know we need to be saying this sort of thing.
Absolutely. And you're doing a fantastic job.
As you guys are as well, and girls.
We try our little bit, Tim, and I think that's it. With a good number of people doing their little bit, then we do a lot together.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's it. And I think you've got to think for the operators. A lot of cases, they don't have their own voices. Or at the RHA and Logistics UK and people at SMNT are doing some good jobs on there, and Beaver LA and people like that. But again, we've all got to start singing from the same hymn sheet. And I think that's a key area that for all of us. But for the good of the industry, this is a watershed, as I said right at the beginning. There's no rules. And that's where government have the problem. We're all great, just continuing everything on. And I said, you know, we're doing in 120 months what we did in 120 years, and it needs some brave decisions. So, and we're all in there. But anyway, I know you want to get rid of me, so hey, go on.
Sorry, did I say that out loud?
I thought
you had that look like my wife has, which is, for God's sake, shut up, Tim.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure your wife is considerably better looking than me. John, this has been great, hasn't it?
Fabulous. I always love talking to Tim, and two things come across for me. One is his incredible knowledge, and the other thing is his passion, not just for what he does, but how he does it. And Tim, I've got a question for you to finish up, which is, how do people get in touch with you? Because you will have inspired people to go make a difference. How do they get in touch so that they can, with your help?
Yeah, just go on to our website, campbellsconsultancy.com, there's a form on there saying hello. Or again, just go through yourselves. You all know us in terms of that, and or give me a call. 0776-999-1918. That's it. Simple as that.
Oh,
top man,
gonna get a lot of calls now.
Oh yeah, oh,
not all of them good, I suspect.
No. People have contrary views completely. So, and that's what life's about. Good, it's good that we all, none of us know exactly how we're going to do it.
Well, good man. Tim, let me say in summary, we've known each other a good while, and when you were first working with National Grid, actually, you came in to LeasePlan. And you and Chris, and Chris has obviously gone on to form Green Jam. I guess that's
good
still
lad.
Going.
Chris Broom's a great... Richard.
A great guy. I loved meeting you both at that point, you know, and obviously I'm getting to know you at that point. And when I went to choose to do the Van World, I obviously gave you a call, and you were always very generous. Cause,
bit of a mentor.
But that's it. But you're... collaborator, and you don't lock people out, which you could have.
You've given
space, and you've been very generous, and you know, throughout the time that we've known each other, and I'm happy to know your son as well, and have worked with him closely, Liam. And he's a great guy, and he's a chip off the old block.
He likes his fruit. He likes renewable decarbanisation, mate.
And
so
trucks.
Trucks and vans. He loves it. Oh yeah, well, he's got a truck license anyway, it's good for him. Everybody's got a truck. In fact, there's only my wife not got a truck license. My daughter's got a truck license.
Really?
My son's got a truck license. And Jessica, she drives some plant trucks and things like Scanias.
Isn't that brilliant?
Well, that's done anyway.
Well, Tim, and that's the biggest compliment I can give you. You give space to Muppets like me
that want
to do a little bit in vans, and you know, kind of skirt around, kind of curiously looking over the fence at trucks and thinking, they're interesting too. And you know, you can help along the way with a little bit of, you know, social media or whatever. Yeah. But we're very grateful for you in the industry. Thank you for the support that you've given to us as the EV Cafe. You've come on many webinars.
Always supported all of you.
And you get us all to pin our ears back. I love that phrase when you use that.
I think I'm quiet, me. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, the daftest thing that's been said in this podcast, let's end on that. Tim Campbell, quiet. One thing he isn't. But yeah, as John alluded to, look, check Tim out, connect with him. You've got his phone number. If you scroll back, you can give him a call directly. You can reach out to us. We'll happily help. You can also head over to our website. And of course, on our website now, we have exciting new things like leasing deals. So you can check out the best value vehicles for your business and vans too, and some big ones as well, but no trucks yet. Trucks are not yet on leasing.com, but you can see on our website, and I'm sure Tim might, you can maybe write a little truck article for us to post on our website. Yeah,
there we go.
That'll be on the website too. You can check that out, and there'll be all Tim's links in the comments and whatnot. So until next time, everybody, have a great day and think truck. See ya.